put a song in my heart today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. Put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Yes, he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. The miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. A song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. On the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah.
There's a lot of miry clay that we could be stuck in tonight. I'm glad I've been plucked up and set upon a rock. Hallelujah. Looking gives you a whole different aspect of looking at the people that are in the world. That we were in the same boat, the same situation that a lot of these people were in. We were just happened to be plucked up and set on a rock. They could cry out to... We cried out, Lord, save me. And he saved us. Hallelujah. And there's millions of people. There's thousands of people here in Little Rock that are got their hand out right now that needs to be plucked up out of the mud, the miry clay, and be put on this rock with us. We've got to be here. Church has got to be here. to get them washed up, cleaned up, get the mud off of them, and let them. You know, have you ever got just filthy, dirty, stinky, you know, sweaty, nasty, and how good it felt after you got that shower, that nice, refreshing. You know, you got out, got dried off. Well, man, I feel good now. I'm all clean and refreshed. I could be dead dog tired and get cleaned up and just feel so good. Got a little more. Puts a little zip back in your step. Well, the world is. I know when you have the weight of sin on your shoulder, you drag down. You're covered in mud. And just a touch of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, make you all clean again, make you feel good. So I appreciate that song. Brother Smith wanted to be here really bad. Now he went back early this morning to get his last load of dogs to bring back. And he couldn't get them loaded up because it was storming. And so he said, I'll come in the morning. Then he decided to leave to come on back tonight. But he wanted to be here because he's going to be going to the Dominican Republic Friday and be gone for a week. And at the same time, my mom called me and said, I'm delivering puppies. So she's delivering puppies. And Dad's bringing puppies. No, he's bringing full-grown dogs back. And he wanted to be here, I know, and but he knows we can have church without him, but I just know he wanted to be here before you go to the Dominican Republic. And we do want to take up a missionary offering tonight, and we really want to try to really bless tonight on that. Him, he mentioned that the other day in Sunday service, because right before he goes on a trip, he really needs the extra funds to help him, because he goes over there and helps them. So we will take that up here shortly in prayer requests here in a second. And I just wanted to lift up, you know, get up and tell the goodness of God, what he's done for me. I don't have a great big testimony. I don't have I wasn't one of these that come in from out of the world and the depths of sin. I appreciate hearing those stories. But I do have a testimony that he saved me from all that. I appreciate that, my testimony. He saved me from going through a lot of heartache. I've had some heartaches. I've had some situations where my faith was deterred and detained or wasn't strong. And I took my eyes off of Jesus. But for the most part of my life, God has kept me out of the world, kept me out of the weights and chains of sin. I don't have the multiple scars that some people have that come from the world. But I appreciate their testimony too, showing what the power of God is equal. It took just as much of a miracle to keep me out of the world as it just did to save somebody from the world. That's equal amount of grace. So, I mean, I don't think that Jesus meant when he talked about the Pharisees praying, you know, oh God, look at me. I'm not like that poor sinner. You know, there's a difference. What I'm talking about is, they were looking down on the sinner. I think you could say almost, you know, it's all how you say something. I think Brother Doug, what was that phrase, Brother Doug, you said on how you say it, just different ways every time, where you emphasize the word, what was the saying? I didn't say he killed his wife. Yeah. I didn't say he killed his wife. 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 See, every time I say it, it takes on a different meaning. Whenever you put the emphasis. Well, I think the emphasis of what Jesus was saying was, it's not wrong to thank the Lord for keeping you out of the world. But he's saying it's wrong when you think you've done it all yourself. He's the one. Save me. I appreciate those that have testimonies. I appreciate the ones that have testimonies that say, I was raised in church, I left church, and God brought me back to church. And I appreciate the people that said, I never heard of God until I was 30 years old. I appreciate that. That's all a miraculous workings and miracles of God. We've got a great God. I want to keep lifting it up. I want to keep lifting up the greatness of God. Hallelujah. I appreciate the days gone by. I remember I used to have Brother Knowles used to come see us. He used to come through here some, Brother Knowles? Oh, Brother Knowles, okay. Good. Me and Andrew used to take him fishing, take him catfishing. He loved to catfish. And we'd catch some fish. I had a good catfish pond in Missouri to take him to, and we'd catch some fish to have fish fry. And he loved to eat fish and catch fish. But one time, we decided to take him trout fishing, and me and Brother Doug Zachary, we decided we was going to, you know, we was going to reap some of his days gone by and ask him a lot of questions. He goes, you know, young men, young brothers, he'd say, he said, he has such a sweet spirit. He says, a lot of people said it was some good old days, and he goes, I guess they were in a sense. But he said, I like today a lot better than I like back then. He says, we're a lot further in God. He said, we got a lot better spirit. He said, and I love these modern conveniences. He was like 91 or 92, and he was told us that on our way down to Lake Taneycomo. But I did still appreciate a spirit like he had. You know, he took care of the Paducah church, and he did it as unto the Lord. He told us, I cried the day I had to give the keys, turn the keys back over to Brother Edmonds. Me and my wife were just couldn't take care of it anymore. He said, we cried crocodile tears. Because we just couldn't do no more. We couldn't do it anymore. Well, I'd love to have that spirit. Love to have that spirit of the servitude. What I do, I'm doing this for the Lord. I don't do this for recognition from my peers. I don't look at this as something I can glory in. But because He chose me and He saved me, and He's put me out of this, on this rock and out of the miry clay, if I could do this one little thing that He's asked me to do, I'll do it to the best of my ability to the day I can't do it anymore. I love that spirit. I want to have that spirit. Every job is important around the church house. It doesn't matter what you do. If God's using you in some capacity, and let me tell you something, if you don't have something to do around here, you make yourself available, because there's plenty to do. I will promise. That's Brother Smith made that and told me many times. He said, if somebody's wanting to do something, I'm going to find a way for them to do it, because there's plenty to do around here. Everybody's got a calling. If you sing, if you vacuum, if you give people a ride, that's all part, that's the servitude. We got many things we need to do. If you can work on a car, if you could help somebody tutor one of these kids, if you can sing, if you can play an instrument, if you can testify, if you can encourage someone, if you can babysit someone's child for them while they take a little time off. We're a big, great, big family, and God's got a great, big work for us to do. But I want to do them those things as unto the Lord. He's got a. It's what I love about the body of Christ. We're members, fitly joined together. Hallelujah. All have work in our part. So I just feel, I feel good about Little Rock, Arkansas. Feel what God's doing here. I don't want to try to quit making it a habit on Wednesday night to say I'm tired and I don't feel good. It's hump day. You know, I don't want to. It's a good day. It's a good week. My daily struggles are no harder than your daily struggles. We've all got our struggles that we go through. Mine may seem bigger to me, are bigger than all y'all's, but I'm sure yours is bigger than mine. There's a parable or a riddle there for you to figure out. Yeah, there you go. She says the difference between major and minor surgery on you, it may be minor, but on me it's major surgery. That's right. But we got to get to where I decrease and he increases. And I'm looking at yours like yours is the major surgery. Mine's just minor. I guarantee you, you can find somebody that needs encouragement. They're struggling just a little more than you are. And a lot of, you know what, I'll just give you a little secret. If you'll be an encourager, it'll encourage you. Do you know that? If you go, that Brother Durham talks a lot about depression. He's read that book on the temperaments, and he'll tell you, because he's struggled with depression, and Brother Smith helped him on this, and he found it to be true, and so he tells it. When he's struggling with the depression, he goes and tries to find somebody he can help. If he can help somebody, encourage somebody, do something for somebody, all of a sudden he's feeling a lot better than he was. Because he ain't focused on whatever got him depressed. He's focused on serving somebody. And that's what God wants us to do, is he wants us to be a servant. We've got so much to be thankful for. Sometimes, I mean, as Christians, did you realize there's people that are dying for the gospel of Christ today? There's people that are in prison in places like China and Russia. And there's people that's went over to the Middle Eastern countries that's lost their life for trying to get Bibles to Christians in those Islamic nations. So just as being a Christian, we are so blessed to be able to live in a country that we have the freedom to serve God. We're not persecuted. We're not persecuted unto death. Oh, we may get ridiculed from time to time. Sticks and stones may break my bones, as they say. Words will never hurt me. They're not real anyway. They may feel real at the time, but we have a God who suffered way more than us. We've not suffered under blood. So we've got a lot to be, we should be rejoicing always. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to be an encouragement to you tonight that we can think about our newness of life that we have and share it with others. Someone asked me to check out the little network website that they've got that Brother Chad Neptune put together, MakeTheBride.com, and I was going to check it out. And I was going to log on. My daughter was already logged in. So I thought, okay, I can kind of read through some of this without joining. Sister Elsie's nephew, Shane Clifford, had posted a beautiful testimony on there. He's a paramedic. And he got called on a call to a man who had chest pains. And when he got there, this guy had tattoos all over him. He was bald. He had tattoos on the back of his head. And so he got to talking to him. You know, when they go to work on you, they start asking you, where are you from? You always lived here? He goes, oh, I'm from California. He goes, oh, yeah, where'd you get all the tattoos? He said, well, I got them when I was locked up. He said, oh, yeah. He said, well, I used to live in Chino, which that's where the prison is there in California. So they got to talking. He said, yo, well, I used to be a heavy intravenous drug user. He said, but the Lord delivered me. He started telling Brother Shane about how the Lord delivered him of 30 years of drug addiction. And he said, and look at my arms. He said, I don't have any needle marks on my arms. He said, not only did he said, I was looking in the mirror one day. And he said, I was disgusted with who I'd become. And I said, God, save me and take this away from me. And immediately, God saved him, delivered him, and took the needle marks out of his arms. He said, he didn't know if I was a Christian. He didn't know if I was an atheist. But he was going to tell me about the goodness of God and what he'd done in his life. He said, I started crying. He said, I had tears in my eyes, and he had tears in his eyes. And he goes, you know what? I don't have any pain anymore. God healed him right there in that ambulance. And I felt good about this testimony, Ro, because I thought, we need to start sharing what God's done for us to other people. We don't need to care, are they, you know, what kind of life they live? Are they Christian? Do they believe? We just tell what Jesus done. To the unbeliever, it'll be salt and light. And it may lead them to repentance, to call out on the name of Jesus. You know, I don't know how many people that man has told. But I'm sure that there's been those people he's told that's gotten a spot. And they said, Jesus, if you can save that man that had all them tattoos, had been in prison, hooked on drugs, I know you can deliver me out of my situation. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. They could call on the name of God and he could deliver them. I don't want to lose sight. I don't want to lose faith. I appreciate it. I thought, boy, I'm glad he put that on there. I read that earlier this morning before I headed out, and that's been lifting me up throughout the day. And we could just share our testimony with those around us. You don't know who it'll affect. You know, they might say, where do you go to church? That's where I want to go. I want to go where something's real happening. I'm in a tight spot and I need God. Everybody needs God. Just when you get in tight spots, when you realize you need him. So let your testimony, let it be known. Tell the goodness of God. Let God bless you. Get closer to him. Brother Smith's been reading us about reading in Revelation and Bible study. I don't want to forget my first love, but I want to stay in tune. I want to keep in reminding. Keep a reminder of the things that he's done and that he's doing, and keep that relationship fresh with him. You know, if me and my wife didn't talk or ever see each other, you know, after a while we kind of, you know, we never talk. I never talked to her, and I never came home, and she never seen me. And 6 months goes by, and you know, we don't even have a relationship no more. And I'd say, hey, how's your wife? Oh, I guess she's doing all right. She's a good wife. I hadn't talked to her in a while and hadn't seen her. But I got to talk to her every day. Even if I'm gone out of town, she's gone out of town. I got to say hello. I got to call her and say, I miss you. And she'll call me and tell me she misses me. And we'll whisper sweet nothings in each other's ear. And that's how God wants. He wants to talk to us, to talk to him. He tells us he loves us. Every time we reach out to him, he blesses us. And let His Spirit fall upon us. Are you reaching out to Him? You telling Him how much you love Him? How much you want to see Him? How much you want Him, His fellowship? Keep that reminder fresh on your mind of what God's doing in your life. Hallelujah. That's what Christ came to do, is to point you to His Father. Hallelujah. And we want to look to Jesus as our Savior. And we want to look to God as our God and Lord. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I just want to go ahead and take up the prayer request, Sister Brittany. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I know there's a God who can heal. So let's pray for Brother Chad Neptune. That's Brother Candy's grandson. And Brother Paul Thompson's working. And okay. Oh, that took the wind out of his sails. Okay. Let's pray for Sister Karen. She and they can't. They got took her home today, didn't they? Well, I can tell you why. Budget cuts. Yeah. And let me tell you something. Who here's had kidney stones before? Okay. Sister, how many she got in her right now? She's got three large stones. And they won't keep her in the hospital or nothing. And I don't guess she's got insurance or anything like that. So they just give her some pain pills and send her home. So I can pray for her. Okay, let's pray for Brother Stan. So we've got a lot of needs here. These are serious needs. Sister Dotson, let's keep praying for her. I mean, let's keep praying for her foot. It's hard on her. Pray for Sister Gail. Let's pray for Sister Jackie. Yeah. They did have a repeat looker. The Jacob and Terry Durham had the same people that looked at it came back out and looked at it again. So let's keep praying on for that. And let's pray for both Smith's Dominican trip. Lord, would His will would be done, and it would be a great blessing to the Dominican folks, the churches there, while He's there. Sister Abraham. The ushers have come forward. We want to dig a little deeper tonight on the missionary offering. And we'll stand and take these needs before the Lord. Lord, we come to you tonight, oh God, with all these needs. You're our heavenly Father, Lord. You know, we know that if we ask according to your will, you will provide. Hallelujah. Give according to your riches and glory. Oh God, we got a sister that's sick, these kidney stones and pain. Lord, we know you can break those stones up, oh God. We know you're powerful, mighty. Oh God, just let your spirit could just go down and touch her, oh God. We'll stand, Lord. We know he needs to touch, that you can heal him with this. You can touch the doctor's mind, oh God. You can touch him, Lord. Oh God, Sister Jackie. Oh God, Sister Wilkins. The ones who are selling our houses in Republic. Help our homes to sell in Republic, oh God. Oh, bless Brother Smith as he chose the Dominican Republic. Touch those works over there. That your will be done, oh God. That a blessing would come upon them. Oh, God bless these dear saints that are about to give to go toward that offering, Lord God, dear Jesus. We give you a multitude of thanks. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Touch Sister Dotson, oh God. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. The ones that are having to work late, Sister Karen, her foot. Oh, dear God. Maybe you touch her foot. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, oh, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Savior, Savior. Oh, la kila mahala da kada da sin da bahai. Hila makala da kishon da bariyata de sito koreyata. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you.
since y'all just wanted to sit there and not want to do anything, thought I'd give you a little experience I had back years ago that changed my life, really. My wife and I, and I don't remember now how many other ladies, seemed like it's two sisters and Brother Tucker. Might have been three more sisters, I don't remember now. But we made one of those trips and went up through Branson into Springfield, and it's been years and years ago. But anyway, I was, I'd had experiences that was kind of tough in my lifetime, but we went into service one night when we was up there. And we come out of that service, I felt like somebody had run over me with a big truck. I told Brother Tucker, I said, I don't feel right. He said, well, what's wrong? He said, you got any fever? I said, no, don't have any fever. He said, you hurt anywhere? I said, no, I don't, I don't hurt anywhere. And he kept asking me questions, to find out if there was something physical. And I kept telling him, no, there's not anything physical that I can pin down. He said, well, he said, I can tell you what's wrong with you. And I said, all right, let me know what's wrong. He said, we just came out of that service. And he said, I was preaching, and he said, you was backing me. He said, you was carrying, he said, you was helping carry the load of that service. And he said, you felt good while you was under that covering, of the Lord helping us. But he said, we're out here now, the service is over. And he said, the Lord's going on about his business, and you're drained. That was my first experience at knowing that there was a load in a service. So I applied that down through the years. But, it's easy to come to church and put the load on somebody else, right? In fact, it's so easy until, if we're not careful, we'll just sit and just let service go by and not really enjoy it as much as we possibly can. Now, down through the years, and I'll go back and give you another experience I had. I think I was 24 years old, and I was, I guess what you'd call prime of life. I weighed about 135, maybe 140 pounds at the most. And I done custom hay baling for people. And I had got up and on a Saturday morning, like at 5 o'clock, and went into the field and had raked and baled hay all day long. I had got home just in time. Well, in fact, I was gonna get home in time to go to church. I come back, went back to my mother's house and got my little brother, which is Brother Paul David. And asked him to go over and help me to bring that equipment home. And I had two tractors, one pulling the rake and the other one pulling the baler. And anyway, I got to the driveway first and pulled in. And when my brother come in, he was about 9, I think, at the time. And I knew when he come in on the driveway that he was going too fast. He was either going to hit my mother's new car, which is sitting there, or he was going to hit the rake, which was sitting there. So in my inexperienced judgment, I decided that I could probably lock the brakes on that tractor. And that's what I tried to do. Well, I had on a pair of blue jeans, and a cleat on that tractor caught the cuff of that blue jeans and throwed me on the ground, and the tractor ran over my legs and then ran over my head. So if I get to acting kind of goofy, I've got a legitimate excuse. Anyway, to make a long story short, you know, I went to the, my brother, he come in just a few minutes after it happened. He picked me, you know, my wife, she was down at her mother's, and I don't remember who went and told her. Sister, one of my sisters, Holly, all right. She rode the bicycle down there and told Ann that I'd been run over, and of course it scared her to death. And my mom, she was scared to death, and oh, she told you I wasn't dead yet. That was one of those stories, one of those emphasized statements. He's not dead yet. Well, it scared her to death, nearly. So anyway, why, you know, she got there, and then shortly after she got there, well, when it happened, people tell you, you know, that in the last fleeting moments of your life, your whole life will go, you know, through your mind. Well, that's not the case, or if it was, that wasn't the case in my situation. What went through my mind was is that my brain was going to pop out of my head like taking a watermelon seed and mashing it between your fingers, you know, and squirting it as far as you can squirt it, you know. Anyway, well, my head proved harder than I realized, and my brain, I think there's one there. Anyway, it stayed intact, and so they took me to the doctor, to the hospital, really. And a doctor came in there, he was one of the older guys that we knew, and he's sewing me up. By the way, the tractor really didn't do any damage. The gravel in the driveway is what done the damage to me physically. Punched holes in my legs, and they had to be sewed up, and I had on a pair of glasses that didn't even break those glasses. Didn't break the frames. But you could tell by looking at the frame of the glass that the glasses that there was gravel there. But anyway, they took me to the hospital, and I kept telling them, slow down. I'd like to live to get there, you know. And, you know, and she was scared. Are you all right? I said, I'm fine. Just, you know, just everybody slow down and take it easy. I said, I'd like to live at least to get there. And, of course, they was all in a panic and rushing me as fast as they could go. But got there, and this doctor, he was examining me, and he said, well, we're going to have to sew those spots up there and put a stitch or two in you. And he looked at my head. He said, that tractor run over your head, too? I said, yes, sir. Anyway, well, he went out and come back in a little bit later after they'd given me some shots and what have you to deaden the areas they was going to put stitches in. And he said, as he was stitching my legs up, he said, young man, he said, do you realize how fortunate you are? I said, I'm beginning to. I said, I'm beginning to. And, of course, we've had tractor accidents out in our area where people didn't survive them. Anyway, he asked me three questions after that. He said, did you pass out? I said, no, sir. He said, did you get dizzy or have a headache or anything? I said, no, sir. He said, was you nauseous or anything? I said, no, sir. He said, we're going to keep you 2 or 3 days here just for observation. Oh, Lordy. Well, I hadn't eaten anything all day. I got up at 5 o'clock that morning, and it had been going all day in the hayfield. I was hungry. So I told my little brother, they finally got me into a room, and my little brother come in, a younger brother, not Paul, but one older than him. And I said, man, I am about to starve to death. He said, well, what would you like to have? I said, I'd like to have the biggest hamburger you could find and a malt as big as you can find. I said, give me something to eat. So he sailed off down the street and come back in a little bit. He had, I mean, a hamburger as big as you could get, you know, at that time. I eat them, boy. I mean, I was hungry. The next morning, they come in and say, what would you like to have for breakfast? I said, well, I'd like to have about 4 eggs and 3 buttered biscuits and, you know, and a big glass of iced tea. So after a little bit, well, they come bringing this breakfast tray in there, and I took the lid off of it. And there was some Jell-O and some Let's see, what else? Ed, can you remember what it was? Broth, I think. I looked at that tray. I looked at that guy that brought it in. I said, you call this breakfast? He said, it's your breakfast. I said, what do you mean it's my breakfast? He said, they've got you on a liquid diet. I said, a liquid diet? Yeah. You know? Well, needless to say, I did survive. One of the young ladies in our church, Sister Shirley Bailey, she came to visit me. While I was there, she walked in and said, well, Brother Wayne, said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. She said, what are you doing here in this hospital? Well, I said, when you asked me how I'm doing, I said, I told you I was doing great. That meant that I'm laying here enjoying life and resting. You know, got it peaceful. I said, I ain't out there pushing up lilies like some that would have been if they'd went through the thing I went through. She said, you're exactly right. But she said, God helped you. I said, I know that. So to make a long story short, here's what I'm getting at, is we're in a church service. We're in a place where we're supposed to be working. Did you know it's work to come to church? Did anybody here know that it's work when we come to service? I'm the only one that knows that. My Lord. No wonder it's such a job. These sisters, when they get on the piano, do you know that they are working? They're not just playing. Well, maybe they're playing and working both at the same time, reckon. But they're trying to help us pull a load. You know, they're trying to help us to get hooked up with the Holy Ghost, with God. When we play a band number, what we're trying to do is get everybody's minds in this frame. You know, when we come in here, we could be welding on something. We could be working on a car. We could be digging a hole, you know. Be working on an air conditioner. Selling a vacuum cleaner. Of course, you know. And then there's that other side too, you know, where we could be thinking about going fishing. Well, now, you know, I'm not above thinking along those lines either. And but what I learned years ago was that if we can get our minds together and we start pulling together, working together in unison, and then get hooked up with the Lord and find out what He wants for that service. Did you know that God can do something in our midst in these times when we don't think He's doing anything? I appreciate what Brother Michael was telling us here a while ago concerning the odd fellow. I think that would be the term that I would use. If I looked at somebody that had two tattoos everywhere, you know, that I looked, including his bald spot on his head, I would think he would be kind of odd. But when he started opening his mouth and talking about what God done for him, and this is the thing that has always stood out in my heart and in my life, that don't ever lose an appreciation for what God has done for you. You know, wherever you come from, whatever part of life you've had, if God's touched your life and touched your heart, and the fact that you're here should let you to realize that God has touched your life. You know, you should be able to just stand up right where you're at and say, God has touched me. I'm here with you. I may not can see everything that everybody else sees. I may not be able to understand everything everybody else understands. But I'm here anyway. God brought me here. You know, you folks didn't vote me in. You know, and I'm sure that you're not going to vote for me to go out. You know, since you didn't vote me in, you can't vote me out, right? So God put us here. Wasn't it Paul that made the statement that God hath gathered us together and set us down in heavenly places? This is a heavenly place. This is a heavenly place. How was it, Brother Michael said a while ago, said we could come in real tired, real give out. And Brother Tucker, of course, he had cure-alls for everything that affected us down through the years. He said, folks, he got up one night and I don't know why he said it. Well, I do too, but I won't go into all that. He said, we're fixing to dismiss this service tonight and go home. And he said, when y'all come back next service, every one of you leave your problems right out there at the front door. Don't bring them inside. Leave them outside the door. He said, they'll be there when you get ready to go home. And he said, nobody else will get your problems. They'll let them alone. They'll be safe. Just make sure you leave them outside the door. Don't bring them into service. When you come into the service, he said, I want you to start working toward pulling the Lord into our midst. Reach up. Touch the Lord. Allow him to touch you. Brother Tyler, you remember some of these lessons, right? There was a reason for that. We definitely needed the Lord to touch us. He looked at some of us and I was one of them. He knew that I needed God to touch my life. And then, of course, I was married to that beautiful lady I'm married to, and he looked at her and he said, yep, he said, she needs a touch from heaven too. We found out something about that it really worked. You know, and when we went home that night, after we'd been in service and we'd touched God, God had come in and really done something for our hearts and lives. When we went out the front door, you know, them problems that we thought was real bad, that was just terrible to look at, you know, as we come in, well, we just grabbed them up and took off with them like we knew what we was doing. You know, and mine was still there. Nobody had touched them. But we was able to make it through. But I'm glad to be in church tonight, to be a part of what's going on. Yeah. We're looking forward to a latter rain church. We're still working on it. We're still, you know, and I wish I could just really talk like I feel, but I'm a little bit leery of that. But God is going to have a church. And I appreciate what Brother Smith has done, you know, among our young people. I got word here the other night that there's somebody that's fixing to miss church Sunday night, and their daughter went to squalling and bawling because they wanted to be in church. I'm glad to hear that. Maybe it doesn't affect anybody here but me, but I'm glad to hear it. Brother Tucker's idea as far as church services was concerned, did you know, folks, here, you ought to look around here tonight. This is the last time that we'll ever be in church like this. The next service we have, either some of you will be missing or there'll be somebody else here. We'll never have another church service like this. Isn't that strange? We must need this service tonight just like this. I'd like to make the best of it, wouldn't you? Tell God that I appreciate him. I'm thankful that he saved me, that he filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, brought me among you people. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I feel better just saying that. I know Brother Smith would tell me, you know, says you can't jump at that. Your jumper's broke. Mine's about broke. I can't jump much anymore. But I'll tell you one thing, on the inside I'm still jumping. I feel a thankfulness for what God is doing. We're further along than what we was years ago. We've got more knowledge than what we had years ago. And our spirit's better than what it was years ago. We don't have as much jealousy. We don't have as much envy. We don't have all the strife and all those conditions that we had in our lives years ago. They're gone. Aren't you glad they're gone? My Lord, here we are trying to build a church for God's people. And there's going to be some strange rascals come in that door. You know, they really are. They're going to be some real lookers. You know. But if God's dealing with them, they're not any different than you and I are. That's the thing. Brother, when we come in the door, wasn't we lookers too? We had some people looked at us and said, he ain't going to make it. My wife and I was, they told us. You know, they prophesied over us. When we got married, y'all last about a year. Maybe a year. they told us. But it has lasted longer than that. 46 now. But it's life. But here